Thank you, Father. This night we worship with heaven. We come in agreement with heaven that he is worthy to be praised.
Yes, you're worthy.
He
you're
is
worthy,
holy.
You're worthy,
he is holy.
Worthy,
he is holy. He is filled with power. With power. With power. He comes in might. In might. In might. With passion. With passion. With passion. He brings fire to set you on fire, that he might become your only desire. I thank you, Father, for the one who was the Word that became flesh, was planted as a seed, who took upon him all the sins, the sickness, the disease, the hurting of this world, and then crucified, that holy blood that hell could not hold, and on the third day wasted principalities and powers, stripped the enemy, took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, ascended from hell to be joined and glorified in his body forever and ever, the firstborn risen from the dead, to give that same power and authority, that same passion to us who call him our Lord, who call him our King. That now he rules and reigns on high, and we who belong to him, who have received him, who have surrendered to him, we are seated with him in heavenly places to open the heavens for us to have access, to receive revelation, to live by in this day. That we will be different. We will be called different. We will be seen and known as different. That we are above all hell. We're above all things of this earth that would seek to defile us or revile against us. That we choose to walk in holiness. We choose to walk in love. We choose to rule and reign and not run in this day and hour. So separate yourselves. Make time for him. Step into his realm. And he will come and visit with you. He will come and dwell with you. For they will come and make their abode with you. The three in one, the Holy Trinity, who had a purpose before the foundations of this world was laid, to come and be a part of our lives. That they all paid a price to do this. They all gave up something to do this, that we might be one with them and be in eternity with them. There's nothing of this world worth missing being a part of them. In the days and months and years ahead on this earth, we will shock and stun hell. We will push back darkness. And the glory of God will inhabit this earth because it will inhabit us. It will go around this world many times over to show who the living God is. He is about to show up and show off on the inside of his kids and his children like he never has before. This world will not be prepared for what is coming. But we can be prepared by allowing ourselves to burn for him. Like the seraphim who dwell in the glory cloud over the throne, who dip down out of that cloud and they are on fire. Their heads are burning blue flames of fire, singing glorious things to the King sitting on the throne. When we join in with them on this earth, they come to be a part of what we're doing. Create your home to become a habitation for heaven. You can be in this world, but you are not of this world. Do not be fooled by the enemy's traps, by his waves of evil that are covering this earth. And yet, in all his darkness, he will never be greater than the glory and the light of God. This night we pay homage to our King. We recognize and declare who He is in our lives. He is our everything. I thank you, Father, for giving your Son to us, for being willing to be separated from Him for a time. You prepared in your heart a way when you made us, a way for us to come back to you. I thank you, Father, for opening the eyes of your children first to know who they are, to know what time this is, that you don't go by man's time. You have your own time. To open the ears of your children, that they might hear the Holy Spirit, that they might hear the sounds of heaven, that they might prepare themselves a living sacrifice, that they might become dangerous against hell and all of the enemy's plans in the kingdom of darkness, that you created us to rule and reign in this earth now, to take our authority in the spirit realm, where we take captive any thoughts the enemy sends us, that we push back darkness by our words. We declare and decree the things of God. The hosts hearken and wait to hear the word of the Lord spoken, that they might move on our behalf, that we might show and rule in the kingdom on this earth. Our kingdom is not a fleshly kingdom. It's not ruling over people. It's not ruling over people. It's not ruling over natural places in this world. It's a place we are seated in. It's in the unseen realm where you dwell. Thank you, Father, for showing every one of your children what to get rid of in their lives, how to loose the darkness from their soul and fill it with you, with your love, with your passion, with your life, with your word, with your presence. We hunger for your presence, that there may be life in the house of God and truth in the house of God, and expose the plans and the lies of the enemy trying to consume your people. Even tomorrow, we ask that you invade every place in our city that calls itself a house of God. Let your fire fall. Mess up the plans of man. Let freedom flow in your house, Father. Come and take it back. Let them desire to have your plans and not their plans. Help them to lay down their plans and find out what your plan is in this day and hour. This is your time. This is his time to come and show who he is to this world through our lives, that we might manifest who he is, that hell and darkness will flee from whole cities where your children of light dwell. They can't bear to be where the glory is. I thank you, Father, for the tidal waves of the passion of your heart hitting this earth, that your Spirit is going to touch all flesh without permission. I thank you, God, that we are alive during this day and hour on the earth, when you will fill us with your plans and purposes, your power, your witty ideas and inventions is going to rock this world when they see what the body is creating and inventing. It can only come from the Most High God. I thank you, Father, that you have a purpose for everyone who's being born, God. There's no mistakes. There's no mistakes to be born in the earth during this time. I thank you, God. We celebrate with all those who've recently gone home, those great men and women of God who are now celebrating in your throne room. We celebrate with them, Father. It is not a hard thing for them to dwell there. It is not considered a dark thing or even a hard thing for a believer to come home to glory. It's a celebration. Teach us to celebrate their lives, God, on this earth when they go home through the portals of heaven and enter into the joy, the beauty, the splendor, the wonder, and the fun that you have prepared there for them. I thank you, God. You have a plan and a purpose for every person on this earth. I thank you for your will being done in our city. This is our atmosphere that you've given us. This is our place to rule in. Teach us to push back the darkness, God, and blind the enemy with your light. I thank you, God, that even though we stand next to, in this physical realm, a facility that was built to worship a false god, we declare and decree that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached from that place. Declare from that place that they will worship you, the one true God. I thank you, Father, for teaching us the proper way to declare and decree your will in this earth, God. To not call out our own fleshly desires, but your heart. You desire that none should perish, but all should come to the truth. But God, don't let us hide our light when we need to let it shine brightly, God, around others. That we can't just love people and not share the truth, God. We can't hide the truth, God. You love people, but they have to know the truth. I thank you for letting it burn on the inside of us, Father. Give us revelation, more revelation, God, that comes only from your heart, not man's mind, not even from their own studies, God, but from the Spirit of God. Let him shine light on your word and bring it alive and reveal the mysteries and the secrets you have hidden there. I thank you, God, for getting your people out of a box and destroying that box so they can never get back in that box. I thank you, Father, that we will learn to speak and move things instead of being moved by the enemy. We will shake and rule in the spirit realm and declare a decree and even touch the very earth, the sky, and the water with the frequency of your voice and see change come. We even speak to those in our government. This land belongs to the Most High God. This country was framed and formed and called forth by the Most High God. America is beautiful in the eyes of their maker. There was a plan and purpose to take the gospel from here to the far corners of the earth. That we prepare a place for his habitation. with regions of light and glory so fantastic. The people will drive their dead there and they'll come back to life because of the presence of God. I stand in agreement with heaven that God is coming to take back the White House, the Supreme Court, the Pentagon, the land, the cities, the governments of our land. That the gospel would be preached from every street corner. I thank you, God, for your plans and your purposes to be made known in this country, God. That no man, no government, no devil can stop you from doing with us what you want to do when we say yes. Say yes. I surrender. I give you permission to prepare me to be a living sacrifice, to become a holder and giver of love, to pave the way for the generations coming behind us to walk in higher levels of authority, to become more dangerous against hell, that one day even the night will not be able to hide from the light that they will carry. Thank you, Father. We welcome you this night. Come and abide with us. We give you permission. Heaven, come. Heaven, come. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory, glory, glory. You can sit down if you're not already. It's an awesome thing to speak for the Father God, for His Son. But I tell you, there's nothing that can compare for His presence to consume your life. And no matter where you go, it's there with you. You're not walking into a place waiting for His presence to be drawn. You carry it. When you go somewhere, the presence should go with you. And you walk in a room, it should be displayed and released from your being to touch everybody there. Amen? Whether it's Walmart or a restaurant or the gas station or just walking down the street, everyone you walk by should be consumed by the presence and the glory of God. And every demon will run to get away from you. Because when they look at you, they don't see you. They see Him. They see His glory. They hear His words. And it causes them pain. I wish the body really knew what He gave them by giving Himself. It's a powerful thing to carry holy things of God on the inside of you, to be entrusted with revelation, walking on the streets of gold, continually standing in the throne room of God, seeing the amazing things that He's prepared there for us. But even more than that, to be shown what is about to happen on this earth, what is about to happen in the body of Christ, and to know the things that we will do in this world and display His power and His glory is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's going to be far beyond anything we ever thought or imagined. You cannot even look at the past moves of God and say it's going to be like that. He's going to do things He's never done before, and display things through us He's never done before. And people are going to be shocked. And the harvest is going to be tremendous. And everyone who is living now, you're supposed to be a part of that. Amen? I thank the Father continually for trusting me with holy things. He is so holy. I talk about His love a lot, but the power and the splendor and the awe that is all over heaven, no matter where you go, but especially in the throne room. I want you to know that every time you got on your knees or stood in your room and said, Father, you were standing at His throne. You didn't see Him there. But I happen to know that He comes. When you're there standing in the gap for somebody, when you're there with His purposes, with His love on the inside of you, and you're about to declare what He wants done, He comes. His throne is literally right there. So don't you ever think He doesn't hear you or doesn't care about the words you speak. He waits for you to speak. The host of heaven wait for you to speak. It isn't us having to tear down principalities and powers. It's the host of heaven waiting for our words that are like weapons that they use when we take authority. They can't say no. It's not about you getting backlash because you've stepped out against the enemy. If there's none of the enemy in you and you are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot withstand what you are saying. If you ever saw a picture of the host of heaven waiting for your words to be spoken, and they take them like weapons and they defeat the enemy. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous child of God produces much power in the spirit realm with your words. Everything God did, He spoke it. We rule and reign by our words. They're powerful. That's why He wants us to watch our words and watch what you speak. Don't beat yourself up anymore. Don't do that. You speak words of life to yourself. If there's no one else to do it, get in front of the mirror and speak words of life from the Father into your soul, into yourself, and begin to build yourself up. That's what David had to do. And it worked. You will get so excited about being alive and belonging to Him when you do that. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't know how to do that, ask the Holy Ghost to come and move on the inside of you and become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your prayer language is powerful. The devil can't understand any of it. It blows his mind when you begin to pray in tongues and he doesn't understand any of it. It is a perfect prayer filled with power and life, being released to connect with heaven and release heaven's power into things. It actually opens up more understanding of the spirit realm when you speak in tongues, because you're bombarding that whole realm with life and power of God when you pray in tongues. There's a lot of reasons why the enemy does not want that being done. He does not want people baptized in the Holy Spirit. It makes them dangerous. You become dangerous. And so I'm telling you, if you come to something in your life and you don't know how to pray, just start praying in tongues. Release it. Say, Father, I'm standing in the gap. I'm going to pray the perfect prayer. I'm speaking in heaven's language. Every demon for 5 miles around just ran. Because they are terrified of people who know who they are. Because they know who He is. It makes a difference. Go do that in your home. Go do that in your home. See what happens in the atmosphere of your home. Amen? We're supposed to release heaven on this earth. Not man. Not our mindsets, not our opinions, not our attitudes. We don't need any more of that, amen? When you die and surrender, it's a good thing. It's good to die before you ever die and move to heaven. That means you get rid of all the parts of you that aren't the nice thing, that don't want God's thing. Amen? Get filled with Him, and then you're walking, talking, living example of heaven on this earth. That's where God wants us. But you know what? He's willing to take you right where you're at. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to have a desire to want to do something for Him. Amen? Your heart willing. And I'm trying to teach people, when you say things, really mean it when you say it. Amen? It's the heart He looks at. The heart. And people go through things you don't understand or know about. And most of the time when people are striking out, they're hurting. Don't get angry or offended if people come against you. They're hurting inside. It's one way of displaying and releasing that hurt. Amen? Don't let offense get on the inside of you. Offense will stop you from hearing God. It's not a good thing. Amen? And God has given me so much revelation and other people revelation. People go, what is revelation? It's in the Bible. It's called the Book of Revelations. It's something that's been revealed by God. And some people don't understand, why do you call yourself a revelator? He calls me a revelator. Because I reveal things for God. He wants you all to be revelators. I have a commission. But you know what? He's no respecter of persons. He'll download revelation into you. He may catch you up to heaven. I don't teach people how to go there. Thank God, that's not my job. But He is taking many, many, many people and catching them up. I call it the celestial realm. To beautiful places, sometimes actually on the world called heaven. His house is not a building. It is a world. It's always existed. Before there was anything else, there was His world, His house. And He spoke and declared everything into existence. Took a scroll in His hand and stretched out the physical realm around the spiritual realm. It was a whole new realm that never existed, the physical realm, where there was time and there was space. There wasn't that in the beginning, before the beginning. In the beginning, that's the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't say heaven. The heavens is outer space. The heavens and the earth. Before that, His world, His house called heaven, always existed. Bigger than our galaxy. Where angels live that are bigger than our planet. Could hold our planet in their hand. And we're worried about what's going to happen to us tomorrow. And His eyes and His heart are on every one of those that He made and put on this earth. His desire is for you to know Him so you'll know who you are. You're not a mistake. He has put gifts on the inside of everybody here. Everybody has something special. He made you a gift. And when you use that gift, I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. Those are gifts too. I'm talking about a natural gift that He put inside everybody. It's your passion. Whether it's baking cookies, training horses, designing clothing, creating music or instruments, or lighting, or acting, or singing, growing the most beautiful flowers ever. All of those are gifts that He put in you before He sent you here. It's important to identify in your children what their gift is. Because when it's identified and they use it, they won't ever want to be anybody else. They won't run around the world trying to figure out who they are. Train up a child in the bent, the Hebrew says the bent, in the way He made them, in the gift He made them, train them up in that, and they'll never depart from that gift. And never try to figure out who they are. They'll know who they are. My 2-year-old grandson is a drummer. He's not going to become a drummer. He is a drummer. He was drumming before he could walk. He drums on everything. And he does it with passion and purpose and comes and leads worship in my office. And don't touch his drums. And don't try to put them where you want them. Because at 2 years old, he knows exactly where to place them. And he'll beat on them without ever looking. He's a drummer. And he's going to be raised up in that. And he'll never run around the world trying to figure out who he is. He won't have the world trying to tell him who he is. He knows he is a drummer. And so God's bringing a revelation even on the scriptures so we have a better understanding. You could easily apply that in your life, in your kids' lives, in your grandkids', lives. It should be very evident. It should be very evident what their gift is. If they're drawing and scribbling on everything, they're probably an artist. If they try to write words before they can write, they're probably a writer. If they dance all over the house and never stop, they're a dancer. If they want to get in the kitchen with you and cook everything and make messes, they're probably a chef or a baker. If that's their passion, God put it in there. And guess what? When they get to heaven, they'll all use them. Your mansions in heaven are so perfectly designed, not just about the colors you like or the kind of furniture you like. It's about the gift he put inside of you. The thing, the passion you always have that you want to do is probably your hobby. If you don't ever stop thinking about horses and you want to look at all, go visit them or ride them, and you dream and think about them, you're probably supposed to raise them. Maybe you end up with one. You get to heaven. You have a ranch with a beautiful mansion and over 100, maybe 1,000 horses on it. You live doing your passion in heaven. Whether it's designing, baking, cooking, making amusement parks, designing fashions, whatever it is, your love, the desire, the passion you put in you is what your mansion will be all about. And people will come to you, to your place, to enjoy the gift God gave you, and it's all free. Isn't that awesome? That's why he says they're irrevocable. He's not going to take them away because he has a plan for them in heaven. That's why there are so many things to do and places to go in heaven, because everybody uses that gift he gave you. That's why there's extreme sports, antique car shows. That's why there's concerts. That's why there's art galleries. That's why there's jewelers. That's why there's bakeries where you see the aromas leaving the baked goods and going down the streets of gold. You see aromas in heaven, and people smell it and follow that aroma back where it came from. I will have some of that. That's why when you get home to heaven, your mansion is crammed with gifts from all of your loved ones and your friends. Because they can go get whatever God offers through all the gifts of the people there, and they get them and wrap them and put them in your mansion. And people take them to the throne room, and you see them lining the steps of the throne. They're taking gifts to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing place to live. None of your family members or friends are dead. Their bodies are. They are living in heaven. They exist to live in heaven, doing things they could never do on this earth, living in places you could never afford to build for them on this earth. And they're all excited about what God's going to do with you. And for over 15 years, he has shown me heaven. He names everything. He has a nickname for every one of you. When you get to heaven, he gives you that little white stone. It's a white diamond. And on it is a nickname that's for you and him. Because he thinks of you as his children. You come home as his son, as his daughter. I know you have family members. You're going to live near all of them and do things together. But everybody gets their own mansion because of our gifts. And you'll be right next door if you were married. Be nice to your ex if you got an ex somewhere that's going to heaven. Be nice to your neighbors if they're going to heaven. You'll live right near some of them. Amen. You will so fall in love with people when you get to heaven. When you get there, you'll be shocked and amazed at how much you love people. Even if it's somebody who irritated and annoyed you all the time, probably your family members. The other thing I found out about God, how much He loves you, your pets go to heaven. It's too late to tell me they don't go. I've seen too many of them. Why does He do that? Because you love them. You love them. It's that simple. Everything in heaven has life. The flowers, the trees. There's a whole place in heaven where the flowers and the trees sing and dance with you, called the Friendly Forest. They have whole concerts where you see the flowers. They grow and intertwine, these beautiful flowers singing the whole time, filling the sky of heaven. Things you never dreamed or thought of go on there. But everyone in heaven right now is focusing on this earth, because He's about to do something so tremendous and so powerful. Some churches who've received revelation and are giving life and revelation will explode during the harvest, and they'll go from 50 to 5,000. Walls won't be able to contain a lot of them. And people will come and want to stay there and live in the house of God. Nobody will take their watches. Nobody will care what time it is. They just want to live in the presence of God. Walk and step into the manifest glory cloud is going to be, you're going to see it when you walk in the house of God, like it was in the temple. He's restoring all of that. It's going to be even greater than before. And everyone who's alive now, there's a reason why you're here. No matter what people have told you or what you've been shown, even growing up, God sent you here for a reason. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be filled. He wants you to walk in life, walk in divine health. That's His plan for us, to be in health. Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. We guard our own souls. We guard our hearts. Your heart He's talking about is the core of your spirit, the heart of your spirit. Guard that heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So you need to dwell on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. No divine encounter will ever take the place of the Word of God. It is eternal. You need that Word inside of you so He can shed light on that Word. I shared the last time I was here, when you get revelation on the Word, it changes the whole way you think about the Word of God, as He reveals mysteries in there to you. When He told Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and as I pass by you, I'll show you my hinder parts, and everybody thinks God's got to show him His back because His front is too glorious. I've seen His front, His back, and His sides, and they're all just as glorious. There is no unglorious part of Him. He clearly did not mean that. He had face-to-face encounters with Moses later until Moses' face shone with the glory of God, and they had to put a veil on it. This is what God was telling Moses. He was God's friend. I will take you and hide you in the secret place. And when I pass by, I will show you all the time that has passed behind me. All the parts behind me. And He showed Moses Him creating the heavens and the earth. He showed Him creating Adam and Eve in the garden. He showed Him those things. Moses had to write those books in the Bible. How would he know if he didn't show him? There's another place, and he actually continued to do that in the New Testament. I'm here tonight to share a story with you from the Holy Spirit called 'Twas the Year Before Christmas. You're going to get revelation on what was happening in heaven a year before Jesus was born in the womb of Mary. Who'd like to have that revelation? It's how the Word became flesh. Who was the Word? What did He do before He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Every bit of this is scriptural. This is Revelation on John 1:1. The Word was with God and was God. And there wasn't anything that was made that wasn't made by Him. There was the Father, the Word, and Holy Spirit. In all of eternity, in all the past eternity that has passed by, they were together. They were always together. They created together. If the Father spoke, when He spoke, the Word would take His words and He would make what the Father said. That's why He says in the Word in John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Him becoming Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on this earth. He didn't have flesh on His body when He was the Word. He had nothing but a spiritual body. He was powerful. He could step in and out of the Father. If you were spiritual beings, you would have the ability to do that. If your eyes were open, you would see the hundreds of angels in this room, and some of them are stacked, like inside of each other. Like there could be one being here and five more standing in and out of this one being. They're spiritual beings or spiritual bodies. And the Word would step inside the Father, and the Father would go somewhere, and He would speak. And the Word would step out and make what the Father said. That's why His name was the Word. Because whatever was spoken, He made it. There's a place beyond heaven in a spiritual realm where no man goes. It's like their place to get away. Even they have a place to get away. Say amen. Everybody needs a place, amen, to retreat to. Why do you think we like to do that? There's reasons why there's things that we like to do. You like to get alone with God. Why? Jesus did all the time when He was on the earth. Why do you like to just escape away from everything and just be in the presence of God and enjoy yourself? And I can tell you, the Holy Spirit has a body. It's invisible. Some people said they've seen Him. Well, I'm blessed for them. You see His appearance or His presence. The fire of God goes all around the image of Him. He has a body. It's a spiritual body. It says, it calls Him in the Word, the invisible Spirit of God. But He has a body. He has arms and legs. He has a body. You wouldn't have one if we're made in their image. He's not just some mist floating around somewhere with a mind. And when you go home to heaven, you're not that either. You have a spiritual body that looks just like you, but a whole lot better. Amen? Everybody is young. Your spiritual body in heaven lives a literal life. You eat food in heaven and gain no weight or have no food allergies. You get a wardrobe to wear in heaven. You walk on the streets of gold. You live in a literal mansion. It's all spiritual stuff, but it's a spiritual realm, and you're living in your spiritual body. Even in hell, in Christ's spiritual body, He defeated hell. His physical body was lying in the tomb. So if people try to tell you can't do anything, you're just a little wispy spirit, you remind them of that. Amen. Even Lazarus, remember the rich man? And he said, please send him with one drop of water to put on my tongue. They were in their spiritual bodies. This was after they had died. One was in hell. One was in Abraham's bosom called paradise. They had beautiful buildings in paradise. They had a river. They had beautiful sky. It's in the middle of the earth. The physical realm doesn't stop the spiritual realm from living. There's spiritual buildings built outside these buildings down the streets you don't see. Some are used by heaven and some are used by the other guys. And they're spiritual buildings. And some of them are sent on assignment from both places. They have facilities they use and come in and out of all the time. If your eyes were open, you could go down that street and see another whole horizon. You see physical and spiritual realm together. In heaven, you feel like you're in a real place, because you are. You can feel and touch yourself and your spiritual body. You can express love and delight and excitement. You get overwhelmed with awe of God. And for some reason, people think you don't cry in heaven. You cry from tears of joy, and you cry because you're laughing so hard you can't help it. They laugh all over heaven. You fall on the streets of gold and people step over you. because you're laughing so hard from the joy and the fun that people are having there. Why do you think he wants you to come like little children? People try to figure that out in their own mind, what that means. Honestly, it's because you're going to have fun. He wouldn't want you to be like a bunch of little kids and not have fun. He'd be in trouble. Because little kids like to play, do they not? Say amen. Don't your own children love to play? And they go to exciting places and do fun things. Heaven is so amazing. And the Father says it's 50-50. 50% power, awe, and splendor. And the other whole half of heaven is about fun. Say amen. So don't ever think you're going to be bored. Don't feel sorry for your loved ones who are living there. I've seen many people. No one is sorry. They live in heaven. They live in his presence. It permeates the walls of their mansions. He sends waves of that living rainbow that is his glory. There's waves of it moving in and out of his being, sitting on the throne. And the Father will grab a whole wave and throw it across heaven. And you're standing there in heaven, you see this wave, you know it's him. He's sending his glory to find somebody. And it goes until it finds them and wraps around them and brings them all the way back to the throne room. You're never going to stop getting undone. But this earth is about to get a taste of heaven they've never had before. There'll be supernatural signs and wonders. People will be so shocked and overwhelmed by it. It's going to cause many people to run into the kingdom of God. And some, it will so terrify them because they don't want God, they'll run away from it. Amen. If you've never stood in his presence, you really don't have any idea what is about to happen on this earth. I don't care what people say. I don't care what governments have planned. I don't care what the enemy has planned. When it begins to hit in its fullness to this earth, things are going to lay down and give up. Or they're going to run to get out of the way. Because God has declared this time to come and invade this earth with his presence, his power, and his passion. And he intends to bring many people who are unknown, and he's going to exalt them into high places in this earth. And you won't have to wonder or guess who really represents God. It will be apparent and made known by how they're manifesting in their life and the fruit that they are producing in their life. It's not about their gifts. It's about their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. If you know somebody that has some spectacular gift, a prophecy or something, and yet they're not living right, that doesn't mean you have to receive from them. It says you'll know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit is in their life? Just pray for them and walk away. Run away. If people try to put you in bondage and tell you you have to do something a certain way, no man on this earth has the right to tell you what to do. They can share truth. They can share revelation. They can share things from the Word and share things with God. But no one was ever meant to put you in bondage. Now, if you're full of yourself and want your own way, and that's the only way, then sometimes that truth may sound like you're being put in bondage because God is really dealing with you to give up stuff in your life and I have a right to do what I want to or have what I want to, then that person needs prayer. Amen? But God's going to make openly plain who he is and who he's operating in. And you'll feel his presence. You can't fake the presence. You can't fake the presence and the voice of God. No matter who you are, you can't say you live for him and speak for him if there's darkness in your life. You have to to choose holy. Be holy as He is holy. And no one can take your life. No one can remove you from the hand of God. You're not going anywhere until He's done with you. Don't let fear rule in your life. God doesn't bring fear. The fear of the Lord is you are so in love with Him, you wouldn't do anything to hurt Him. It's not about Him making you afraid. He says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Because you're precious to Him. I'm just going to read this that the Holy Spirit gave me. If I can find it, I have to give it to Jen. See, it's there. This is exactly how He gave it to me. I was sitting, just sitting in His presence, and the Holy Spirit started downloading this to me, and He said, I want you to write this down. It's called, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, I will tell you, He is called the Drama King in Heaven. If you don't believe it, just hold on, wait and see what He does in this earth. He's about to cause more drama in the house of God, in the streets, everywhere, without permission. And He is going to shake things up, stir them up, turn them inside out, and a lot of people are going to be shocked at what He does. He loves drama. By the way, He loves the arts. It's one of His favorite things. He loves dancing. He loves singing. He loves drama. He loves plays. He loves prose. He's the greatest poet ever. Poetry flows from Him nonstop. No matter what, He speaks to me many times. I'm doing good to rhyme two in blue. And yet He loves to give prose, and this is something that He gave me. And it says, Holy Spirit gave me this revelation. 'Twas the year before Christmas when all through Father's house angels were stirring, yes, even the mouse. Holy Spirit was waiting while the word was being shown. God doesn't send people without training you. I'm talking about the angels. All the angels who were sent to this earth are trained and prepared first for every assignment they have before they come. They don't have to try to figure it out. Michael's headquarters were training the host eons before there ever was an enemy to fight. And before the Father sent the word to this earth, He showed him all that would happen to him. But the thing that won his heart was the prize. I'll tell you what his prize was for going to the cross. Every time one believer comes home to heaven, the Lord gets to walk them up the steps of the throne personally and gives them back to the Father. It is His greatest pleasure to personally take you back to the Father and say, here they are, Father. I've made the way. I've brought them back to you. That was His prize. It wasn't just seeing the masses. It was one at a time taking them up these awesome steps to the throne where life and the river flow from. Creation is taking place, even looking in the steps of the throne. It's a powerful thing to experience. That was His prize. So He showed him all that he would experience. And then, of course, as he grew as a baby, he didn't really know, but as he grew in age, all these things came to him at different times in his life. And then he finally came a day when the realization, he knew he was the Son of God. Mary shared that with him. But all that would be done. That's why he said, I only do what my Father does. And I only say what my Father said. He showed him everything that would happen before he sent him. While the word was being shown, all that he would go through, that God's plan might be known. The Father was nearly done, lovingly training He who would become His only true Son. This is the story. This is how the Holy Spirit told it. Millions of miles away, a long, long time ago. Does that sound familiar? You'd be shocked and amazed at how many things are said that actually were said in heaven first. Castles, all the castles, they started in heaven, not here. They have moats with the river of life flowing in them. Some people have castles for their mansions. There was the fairest kingdom where love and justice ruled. A Savior would be sent and go to the cross so mankind could find a way back to the Father by repenting of sin. The angels were shocked. That might surprise you. They were shocked. They were told the Word is going to go and die for the sins of the world. They knew He was the Word. They didn't understand at first. They're real beings. They have emotions. They have personalities. They're not robots in heaven. And they were told. There came a time when the Father told them, this is what's going to happen. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. The angels were shocked and began to think why the one they called the Word would have to actually die. He was willing to change His very image and even His name, knowing for Him it would never be the same. The Father held Him for a very long time, and then with a wave of His hand, I'm trying to find my spot, sorry. You can tell I am so high tech. That's not my gift. I'm still trying to find it. No. Jen's going to come up here in a second and say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Okay. See, if it was something that came to me, from me, from Revelation, I don't ever have to look at it. But if it's something that comes directly from the Father or the Holy Spirit, then I have to read it. It's not something I remember. So this I have to look at. Okay. The Father was nearly done loving His Son. Was nearly done lovingly training He who would become His only true Son. Oh, I read all that, didn't I? You said that already. The Father held Him for a very long time, then with a wave of His hand, changed the Word into a seed. And at the same time, this is something you have to understand, when He waved His hand over the Word, He put flesh on Him. Are you shocked? How many know the scripture that Jesus was made after the order of Melchizedek? Raise your hand. Now, there were two things He meant when He said that. One was the priestly order. Melchizedek is God's personal high priest. He wasn't Jesus on the earth. He is a being, an eternal being. His name is Melchizedek. He's always been Melchizedek. The Word said He had no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. That shows you right there that He is a supernatural, eternal being. He was not somebody who lived on the earth and then died and became Melchizedek. But He was different because He had flesh on His body. You might be shocked at that. The angels who were posted on this earth to help educate mankind, they were watcher angels. When Adam and Eve fell, God sent these angels to help educate mankind. He put a boundary around them to not step beyond the bounds of only educating. And some stepped beyond the bounds and left the former estate and created offspring with the daughters of the sons of man. And everybody said, how can they do that? They had flesh. They weren't human beings. These were angels. There's a whole tribe of angels. Melchizedek was the head of that tribe. So Melchizedek has always had flesh. Abraham could not have seen Him. He could not have paid tithes to Him. He actually was the king of Salem. He actually had a position on the earth. He had a temple. And in the Word says, no human hands served at those altars. That means that there were other angels sent with Him that served Him. Melchizedek had flesh on His body. So Jesus was made Jesus to talking about Jesus, was made after the order of Melchizedek. The Word had no flesh. God waved his hand, put flesh on his body, and turned him into a seed. You notice it talks about the seed of the woman. And he was planted as a seed in the womb of Mary. This is all revelation. You can ask the Holy Spirit about it. Go right ahead and ask him. But what happens is when a mystery is revealed or revelation comes, it's actually very simple. It would be a very simple thing for God to put flesh on him. He turned him into a seed, planted him in the womb of Mary, because the one thing that he didn't have was he needed the blood. He needed to enter this earth through the womb of a woman to have the authority and dominion of a man. God gave mankind dominion on the earth. He had to have that blood, which he that received through Mary, from being in the womb of Mary, so when he died on the cross, that blood could be shed. So that was his plan. He turned the Word, who is a spiritual being, put flesh on his body, and made him into a seed. You need to see that. And I'm gonna, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. I didn't even know all that till he gave this to me. It said he turned him into He turned him into a seed. I'm trying to find my spot. Holy Spirit left heaven in a whirlwind of fire, carrying that precious gift who would become our desire. The messenger had already been to share with Mary her holy assignment, the Christ that she would carry. On the journey through the Spirit, the God of eternity remembered all the times he and the Word together had created. This is all from the Holy Spirit. How many people know the Holy Spirit can give you the mysteries of God, reveal the mysteries of God? Is that true? Amen? I was undone when he gave this to me. It was beautiful, but because it's almost Christmas, that's what he wanted me to share. Amen? Is this okay? It said they had ventured together to places unknown, helped the Father stretch out the heavens, and touched the sun. Talking about the sun and the moon. Sometimes they were separate and yet could be one. Would ride their horses, lightning and thunder, just to have fun. Everybody knows Jesus has horses, right? He's coming back on a white horse. He has a whole herd of horses in heaven. Some of them have rainbow colors. He has a horse. His name is Lightning. He's got fire coming from his nostrils and off his mane. The Holy Spirit has a horse. His name is Thunder. And the Father actually loves horses. That's why they're talked about so much in the Bible. There's horses all over heaven. Many of them fly. And so this is the Holy Spirit revealing this to me. They would ride their horses, lightning and thunder, just to have fun. The one whose heavens angels called the Drama King was delivering to planet Earth the King of Kings. The Word became poor just by leaving the splendor of heaven and came to this physical place to walk, live, and die for the human race. Heaven's portals that day were filled with the host as they watched God's Son be conceived of the Holy Ghost. Do you get the vision of the full price paid? It was much more than just come to die. He forever changed who he was for you and I. Cry holy, holy with all of your being when you begin to worship the God who became man, Jesus, our beloved King. Selah, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One last revelation to leave you with. On the birth of Christ, when the angels sang, why were the shepherds filled with great fear? The truth is told was not the worship angels who came in the skies, but the host, the armies of heaven who had fought by his side. The strange, the bizarre, if you could see some of those hosts. The hosts, the armies of heaven don't look like you and I. They're 80, 90 foot tall. They have weapons built into them. Some have a band around their head with eyes all the way around their head so they can see the enemy no matter where he is. Some have one huge eye in the front of their face and one in the back of their head. They're scouts, and they're sent out throughout the universe to record what the enemy is doing. And many times they disguise themselves as clouds. I hope this is not too deep for some of you. Some of you are loving it. The armies of heaven, they are fierce, not against you and I, but they have a purpose they're made for, and that is to war. And they don't look pretty, and they don't have harps. They are dangerous. They fight with weapons of lightning, weapons of light, just beams of fire leaving them. Some are made and designed specifically by God to war. And when Lucifer fell in heaven, he was over all the worship angels. Most of the worship angels were the ones who followed him. We all replaced them. That is why the enemy hates it. When you sing and worship God, we replace those worship angels that were kicked out of heaven. And he doesn't want you, the enemy does not want you to worship the Lord. He wants you to worship him. Amen? And that's why it's wonderful and powerful when you sing together. It's like sending missiles through the second heaven, and you bust up the atmosphere where the enemy has been controlling it. Amen? So these shepherds, Gabriel is beautiful. He came to deliver the message, but it says the sky was filled with the host. Every time the word says the host, those are the armies of heaven. It talks about the word, the one time when Israel was in trouble and they prayed, and the word says the captain of the host went to the far ends of heaven and gathered the armies to fight on behalf of Israel. On the far side of heaven is Michael's headquarters in heaven, where they train and where they leave, coming back and forth on assignment from earth. And even those angels are pulled off the battlefield, and they have places to have fun in heaven and get restored before they're sent back out. One thing the body needs to do is learn to have fun. Say, we need to pray. Say, we need to pray and play. To be a whole person. Say, they play in heaven and they pray in heaven. His will on earth as it is in heaven. So don't think you're not going to have fun with all this powerful activity coming to earth. You'll probably have more fun than you ever have before. Amen. See, when the Holy Spirit talks, it's a lot. He talks a whole lot to me. The strange, the bizarre to human eyes had taken the place of all the worship angels who were thrown out with Lucifer. And they were undone by who was singing these amazing. I said, I can imagine the host of heaven being called in for choir practice. You need to see some of these pictures sometimes, because they are real beings with real personalities. And they wanted to be there to declare that peace and life was coming to this earth. And I imagine it was very loud and very noisy when they did it. Amen? So he wanted me to read that to you and share with you that the word... He made this decision to choose the Father's will, to change his very appearance. And honestly, Satan didn't know who he was when he was first born. He didn't look like that when he was in heaven. Now Jesus is the express image of the Father. But when he was the Word, he had a spiritual body, not a physical body. And so the enemy, that's why he kept trying to find out, where is he? Because he didn't recognize him. He wanted to make sure he had him. And when he did get him in hell, by the way, he didn't even drag him there. He didn't have the power to drag him into hell. He ascended into Abraham's bosom, dropped off the thief from the cross, who he said, today you will be with me in paradise, and of his own free will crossed over the great gulf to hell. That's another whole story. And he, well, on the third day, he stood up and released the fire and the glory of God and melted and spoiled and ruined the faces of the hierarchy of hell. And even today, when I see these demons, it looks like their faces made out of melted wax. I used to see them all the time, and I thought, why would they look? I've seen a lot of grotesque things. I've seen a lot of little things. Sometimes they manifest ugly and gross, and that's a facade, because sometimes they're about this big. And they want to give the appearance of being huge, big, and ugly. The host are the huge, big beings. Now, God got the big ones, by the way. The enemy didn't get one single member of the armies of heaven. They actually knew when he came to deceive them, if you bow down to me and follow me, when I take over, I'll give you power, authority, and wealth. Does that sound familiar? He said it to every angel in heaven. I'm sure when he showed up at Michael's headquarters, they laughed him out the door. And they were saying this, now we know who our enemy is. Because up until that time, there were no enemies. There was no one to attack them. There was no one to oppose God before Lucifer became Satan. And by the way, God didn't create Satan. He created Lucifer. Lucifer chose to become Satan. Amen? So I hope you enjoyed that message tonight from the Father, revelation on one of the mysteries of God, that God chose to send one of the members of the Trinity, not just some angel, not just somebody, but somebody who he was one with, to come and die for us. And at that death, and when it was finished on the cross, the price was paid for us, but he had something else still to do. Because if he didn't, he'd have gone straight home to heaven from the cross. There was a reason why he descended. So none of us who received Jesus Christ would ever have to go there. We would never descend, not even into Abraham's bosom. We would ascend and go into heaven. He made that way possible through his blood. And through his blood, you get the power and authority that he operated in this earth. You get a deposit of the anointing that he carried on this earth. You were given rulership to rule as kings in this earth, in the spirit realm, and have power over all the power of the enemy. You weren't put here to just barely get by and live under a burden of grief and hurt. You were put here to be in charge of and take dominion over the very earth, the weather, the land, the sea, the animals, and have power and authority over any demonic being on this earth who is illegally doing things because we allow it. Say amen. Don't ever allow the enemy to rule in your life, to put fear in you. You carry the blood of Christ on the inside of you. You are dangerous when you begin to understand who you are. You are the Son of the Most High God that he wants you to manifest in this earth. You will rule and reign in all of eternity on the new earth. God is actually going to move from his own house where he has always lived. Heaven has always been his home, and he's willing to leave that home to come and live on the new earth with you and I. So even he is giving up something to come and dwell with us forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for your message, God, to your children. I thank you, Father, for revelation. Everyone stand up for a minute. Let's declare and decree some things for the Father. He loves for you to do that. You just stand in your home and you take command of the day in the morning before you ever leave your room. Don't walk out of your bedroom without taking authority. And actually, everywhere you go, you take authority in the spirit realm. If I'm going to eat out somewhere or I'm just going to a store, I don't care if it's to get a gallon of milk. I drink milk, amen, with all the fat. Now, I know sometimes that's not good if you need to watch it, amen. I eat once a day, so I eat pretty much whatever I want to. No, God made me that way, amen. But we have to take care of our temples. I'm just letting everybody know, God wants you to get in shape, because you're about to run one of the most amazing races he ever gave to people on this earth. We're going to change history. We're going to set the mark for the future and run our race in a way the body of Christ has never run before. Hand in hand with the Most High God, with the host of heaven running with us, declaring and decreeing, taking authority, changing things in the spirit realm that impacts this physical realm. You want to know how that happens? You take authority over any darkness in the spirit realm and declare what God wants in that area, and that's how it happens. It's not like you're waiting for months for something to happen. If war begins, this is serious. If war begins to rise up across the sea and you see it on the news, that news is there for one reason, for you to take authority over things. It's not so you can repeat all the bad stuff going on. We're supposed to take authority. It doesn't even matter if you're not there. You rule and reign in the spirit realm. There is no distance in the spirit realm. People keep declaring World War III is coming, and I keep saying it's not coming. It is not time. It's not God's time. When that person in North Korea decided they were going to start attacking us, and people going, oh my gosh, there's going to be World War III. Get ready to run and hide. I'm like, why? No, I don't agree with that. I make a ruling in the spirit realm as a king, and I say that that man will change his mind. In the nighttime, he'll have a visitation, and in the morning, he will say, I have changed my mind, and there will be no war. Now, that's how everyone who's a believer should have responded when they heard that on the news. If there's some murderer loose somewhere committing one after another crimes, don't just listen. You stand up and say, I declare and decree that light will be shown on the darkness. He will be exposed. The enemy will be pulled down. And that person will no longer be able to release evil and murder in this earth in Jesus' name. You have released words in the spirit realm that the host of heaven can go and war against the being controlling that person. It isn't you controlling the person. I took authority over the evil beings controlling that person in North Korea, over North Korea. I took authority over them. See, that's where your authority is. It's in the spirit realm. That's why if you know your family members are involved in stuff, you stand in your prayer closet at night and say, I, as a child of God, walking in the power and authority Jesus gave me from the cross, I take authority over those demons controlling my family member, and I break that assignment over them, and I declare you are coming down. The host of heaven will pull you down. You'll no longer be able to control or operate against them in Jesus' name. And when you did that, a sword came out of your mouth in the spirit realm, and the host came and warred, and they already dealt with that being controlling your family member. After that, you declare and decree that that family member is going to become a mighty child of God. They're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ, serve him, love him, and manifest God's power against the enemy. That is when your words become productive. You have just at that moment change the whole spiritual atmosphere in the situation. Don't just listen to things being declared. That's man and the enemy's plans. And by the way, a lot of things God told me, a lot of things he's showing to the prophets are not his plans for doom and gloom. He's exposing the enemy's plans for the doom and gloom. They need to know when they see something, sometimes it's God showing them the enemy's plans. So you come against the enemy's plans if you hear that. Amen? There's going to be an earthquake go right down through USA and split it apart. California's going to call. I happen to know God's got great plans. He's put a bullseye on California to use for himself in these days. He's not going to send it off the face of the earth. It's not going to fall into the sea. So every time someone declares that, I say, no, I cancel the enemy's assignment. I know whose assignment that is. It's not God's plans. I cancel them and send the host of heaven to go and deal with that situation. Because those words I spoke were the words of the Lord. Because this is his time to do great things in the earth. It is not his time of wrath yet. And when that happens, nobody can stop that. Amen? You use, if you watch the news, then you're being charged by heaven to take authority over anything in there you hear that is not God. There's a blizzard coming to wipe out a whole city. I take authority over the atmosphere in that storm. I command it to be diminished. I say there will be no deaths. There will be no destruction. I have authority and dominion over all the earth, and I'm taking it right now in Jesus' name. Do the same thing over any kind of destructive storm. Jesus had authority over the storm. You have authority over the storm. Do not agree with it. You're coming into agreement with something that belongs to the enemy. Everybody say amen. Amen. Say, I got it. And if you have to remind each other, remind each other. This is our time. You wait and start doing it and see what happens. If you don't start somewhere, you got to start somewhere. Declare your home is going to become a habitation for heaven. That His presence is going to be felt when people walk in the door. And I would say it every day, just say it. Just say it. And one day someone's going to walk in the door and they're going to get drunk from being in the presence of God. Because you have declared and decreed something that God wants to happen. You say what He wants to happen. That's His will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You walk in anybody's mansion in heaven, you're consumed by the glory and the presence of God. In the streets, no matter where you go, you're consumed by His glory. It's His will in heaven. It's His will that they use their gifts to bless one another. It's His will that they always prosper. It's His will that you live in health. There's no sickness, no disease, no hate, no fear, no arguing, no offense. There's no remorse. There's no shame. It doesn't exist there. Amen. We need to start operating. That's why God's taking people to heaven and saying, this is the way they do it in heaven. This is the way I want it done on earth. This is what you do in your life to get ready to do it. When He does something new on the earth, He always sends someone to explain. And a lot of people go, that's not God. He wouldn't have pink hair. Wait till you get to heaven. Your pet could have pink hair. Your grandma could have pink hair or blue hair or green hair or striped hair. It could be short, long, curly, straight. You are not held in a box in heaven. God created the rainbow. He likes colors. They do it with light. Amen. He likes pink hair. And that doesn't mean kids can run out and get it without your parents' permission. I happen to have honored my mother and father while I was grown up, and I expect to have a long life because I blessed them. Amen? He asked me to have the pink hair. Pink hair is one of the new things coming from heaven. Behold, I will do a new thing. It's going to be radical clothing, speaking life and power out of your mouth, and having colored highlights in your hair. Say amen. The enemy did not create radical, and neither did man. God did. So let's look up and say, Father, I declare and decree, this is your hour, this is your day, this is your time to show up and show off in your children the power, the splendor, the glory, the life, the truth that is in heaven. Heaven is coming to earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can sit down for just a second. I don't really on purpose don't want to go late because I know that there's service tomorrow. I don't want to keep anybody from your service. When you show up and stand in the parking lot, please do this. Stand there and say, I release the fire of God. I do it where I go. I release the fire of God and the anointing into this ground and the entire building. Let it consume everyone in there this day. Practice. Let it consume everyone in that place this day. See, those are his, those are the words of the Lord. That's what he wants. And when it starts happening, it's gonna shake things. But he put us here to be his mouth, his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet. And it says that the angels hearken unto the word of the Lord, whether we speak it or he speaks it. They move when the Lord's word is spoken. Those are his words. He wants to consume all flesh. He wants us to live in the presence of God. And when you take authority, you're releasing your rulership. You have the right to say that as a child of God. You have the right to declare that and decree that. Do it at your child's school when you take them to school. Before you leave, hold your hand up and say, I release the fire of God and the anointing into the entire grounds in the building. It's almost like we're kind of wasting our energy and our life if you don't do that. How many people know what the dollhouse was? Can I see your hand? Not that you ever went there. It was a gentleman's club on Atlantic Boulevard. The anointing tore it down. Because I drove by once a week and held my hand out. And I said, Father, people know when I travel, I'm going to take pictures now of nothing but the foundation. I'm going to say, remember that place I declared about? Look on the overhead. There it is. The anointing breaks the yoke. And I release the anointing into the building, into every person there. I said, I nullify all the power of the enemy operating in that place. They won't affect anybody in there. And guess what? You do that enough and there'll be no business. Because the enemy cannot operate in any way in that place against anyone. And the anointing tore it to the ground, and there is not one brick left. So if you want to know, do you have authority, that shows you have authority. That's all I did. Once a week, I'd go by there and do it. And it's gone. Amen? You have authority to move and shake things. It's on the inside of you. 1 John 2:27 said, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive a deposit of the anointing and it lives in you. And people go, amen. What? No. He just told you, he gave you a supernatural spiritual weapon. If the anointing breaks the yoke, it is a weapon. Say, it's a weapon. And say, I have it. I need to use it. Every time you hug a family member, release the anointing into them. Every time you bake them cookies and give them to your kids at college, put the anointing in it. Every time you text them or phone them, release the anointing in your phone. It will get all over them. My kids slept in, wore, ate, was saturated with the anointing their entire life because I did it to them all the time. God is going to get them if they're being consumed with the anointing and it breaks the yoke. It doesn't matter what the yoke is. It will break it. And you as a believer should know how to operate in that and use it. The word talks about it. You simply say, and this is one thing you can actually say in your spirit. Your spirit can speak on the inside of you. Your natural man, mind can think. You can say things from your mind. You can speak them, but your spirit can speak. It is a spiritual weapon. It was given to you, and you can walk in a place and nobody hear you, and you say in your spirit, and I feel it leaving me. And you may not feel it at first, but I will tell you this, you will feel it one day. You will feel it. Peter released the anointing so much, it created a cloud of the anointing around him. And when he walked past people, they said his shadow healed people. It wasn't his personal shadow. It was a cloud of the anointing because it broke the yoke over anybody he walked past. When that lady touched the hem of Christ's garment, and he said, who touched me? I felt power leave me. It was the anointing. It's one of the biggest things he operated in. It saturated his clothing. You can release it into any inanimate object. And the disciples released it into handkerchiefs and aprons and laid it on sick people. And they rose up. Some of them had demons leave them because the anointing broke the yoke. Every present you give this Christmas, I challenge you to release the anointing into it. You invite people over to your home to eat, release the anointing in the food before you serve it to them. You can go into your unsafe family members' homes and release it into every doorknob, every chair, every place, the refrigerator. And I'm telling you, they will eat it, they will wear it, they'll be consumed in it, and yes, it's going to start making a difference on the inside of them. Because you're actively using something that Christ gave you because you received him. Don't you think this would help change the body of Christ if they all knew this? That they're walking around being beat up by the enemy and they're carrying a powerful weapon on the inside of you. Your weapons aren't carnal. They're not physical. They're spiritual. They're supernatural to the pulling down of. And one of those supernatural spiritual weapons is the anointing. And you have it. This is a wonderful Christmas gift I'm giving to you. You are powerfully and wonderfully made, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, you become filled with his love. You have authority, but you become dangerous. When you start using that, and then don't sit there and go, the enemy might strike me back, then strike him. I'm teaching people to give backlash to the enemy. And there are some people who won't step out and do something because they had backlash. If I step out, I'll be attacked. I said, then attack. Attack! How do you attack? If you were attacked with sickness, go find 10 people to pray for healing. If he steals your money, ask God for seed and go bless 10 people with that seed. If somebody says something ugly to you because the enemy wanted to, you go find 10 people to encourage and bless. That is backlash against the enemy. And let me tell you, he's going to get it eventually that if he attacks you, you're attacking his plans and purposes. Say amen. Amen. This is what they need to teach in church. Amen. They need to teach revelation and let you operate. Our job is to train you to do the work of the ministry, but the work is lots of fun. There are times that you go through seasons where you're tried and where you're in the press. I understand all that. I've been through a lot of that. I still go through some of that. But it doesn't matter. The whole time, no matter what you're going through, you don't stop going forward. You don't stop being dangerous. You don't stop releasing. It doesn't cost you one penny to release the anointing. Amen? The word says you have it. 1 John 2:27. People go, that's not the word. Yes, it is. You just don't read it. Read the word. It's filled with wonderful, marvelous, powerful things. Amen? So is there anything else we need to do before I pray for people? I think they want to take up an offering, but honestly, if you want to give, you can go ahead and give. Everything I take in helps me to release heaven, the revelation of heaven. We're finishing our new website. I just spent like 8 hours doing videos, introducing it on YouTube and introducing the welcome to the websites. They're going to be state of the art. It's taken us a while, but we've been paying for things as we go. So whatever you give will help to reveal heaven around the earth. You're not just giving to a person. Feel free to give what you want to. Do they still make checks out? Kat Kerr or to him? Yeah. You can make them out to Kat Kerr, K-A-T. That's not kitty cat. That's lioness. I'm that kind of cat, not the meow kind. I have claws, and I only use them against the enemy. And they have a basket somewhere. Oh, it's right there. Yeah. I don't ever mind receiving. I'm a big giver myself. And are we going to pass it around or we put it down? Just pass it. Okay, just pass.
Just pass it. I want to keep talking while they're doing that. And Father, I ask you to bless everyone who gives, Father, from their heart and cheerfully, God. You love a cheerful giver. And I thank you, God, for letting your joy rule in their heart and blessings. And God, I do want you to bless everyone here with revelation, with your presence, with your plans, God. I know that a lot of people are in transition right now. God is about to move people and give you new homes and new cars and new positions. This is the season for that to happen in the body. A lot of people have been hearing about it. It's already started happening. We're not waiting anymore. We're in a new time on the earth. God goes by his timeline. This is his time on the earth to do stuff with us. Amen? So position yourself. Get in his presence. I never asked for an assignment to go to heaven. I never asked for a commission to go around and share and see things in the spirit realm. I ran after him and gave myself to him for hours and hours a night. And I still worked a full-time job. I still raised three kids. I still served at my church. I made it happen because I was hungry. I wanted to bless him. And when you put yourself in that place, even just a surrendered heart, if you haven't done anything, say, God, I want to do things for you. I want to surrender everything. Help me to do it, Holy Spirit. Show me how to do it, Holy Spirit. If you ask, you have not because you, but if you knock and seek, you shall. You will find what to do, and then you're going to find him. He literally walked through the wall of my home, into my house, in person. But years before that, I used to bask in his presence and worship him and love on him and talk to him. I set aside a time that wasn't asking him or taking my needs. Always you can do that. Of course he wants you to. I set aside time just to get to know him. And I didn't even know how to do it. I got in a room and shut the door and sat down and said, okay, this is it. I want you. I want you. I want to know you. I want to live in your presence. I want to do things for you like the people in the Bible did, because you're no respecter of persons. And I don't care what it takes. You have permission to shape me, to process me, because I want you that much. Next night, you get in the room, shut the door. I want to know you. I want to be in your presence. I want to do great things for you. I want to know you more than anything else in my life. And I did it night after night. Then I turned on music and just sat there. And his presence began to fill the room. And he would download things. And I would hear him say things in my spirit. How much he loved me. Why he made me. Things he wanted to do with me. And I got more excited and wanted to spend more time with him. And it didn't matter. Things were going on in my natural life like they do in everybody else's. And I began to see beyond the situation and circumstance. And I would not receive what was being brought against me. I began to say what the Lord had said to me in private. No, he has great plans for me. This is not him. But if I knew I was being processed and lost everything I had, I said, okay, God, you're in this. This I know is you. So I'm willing to do and go wherever you want me to do. I am not concerned about nothing. And I'm not even asking you for anything. Whatever you want to do, do it with me and let people see that even though I've lost everything, I'll worship you and love you. It doesn't matter because I'm in your hand, not the enemy's. And he'll take you. When things like that happen sometimes, make sure it's don't blame the devil always. You can say, God, I believe this is you processing me. And if it's not, you're going to stop it. If it is, I'm surrendering to all of it. And you'll come out the other side so filled with victory. And the more you experience those things and come out and see God move on your behalf, your faith begins to explode on the inside of you. And you begin to enter into a place of believing, and you step into a realm of faith. And then you begin to speak and powerful things begin to happen. But you have to start somewhere. I tell people, go home, open the door, evict any part of the enemy. There's any spiritual activity in your home that belongs to the enemy, kick it out. It's a lot of fun. Just stay, literally, go to your door, really. I mean, really, open the door, even though they're spiritual beings. If junk and stuff's happening in your home, and say, devil, I command all darkness, any camp of the enemy that is in my home, I don't care how you got here, get out in Jesus' name. And they will fall over each other getting out of your home. And you say, Father, I welcome you. I welcome the Holy Spirit to have full rule in my home. I invite heaven to come and inhabit my home. I want your presence here, your plans here. You will absolutely delight the Father. He'll probably get up and dance around the throne. Because you're finally doing what he wants to hear you say. It's called taking authority right where you are, whether you live in a car or live on the street or live in a wonderful home or living with somebody else. You have the right to take authority over the spirit realm wherever you are. You don't have to tolerate the enemy. Amen. Father, I thank you for blessing this offering and giving it back to them, Father. This is your time on earth to bless those who've been faithful, to bless those who give, God. So I ask you to open the windows of heaven and pour out more seed so that they can give more, God. And along with that, a thousandfold return, the hundredfold return, the thousandfold return, begin to show up in people's lives, in their bank accounts. Father, for your purposes, you gave them visions. You gave them a plan, God. I thank you that you are the one who will provide for it. I thank you, God, that during this time, their needs have become your responsibility and their desires have become your pleasure. I declare and decree it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.